You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, hello again. Welcome in. And my special guest today is Ted Lasso.
I like that.
Of course, it's Spencer Steer making his Gym Day podcast debut. Welcome, but with that stash, I don't know. Sometimes I've walked by, I'm like, that Ted Lasso right there?
You have no idea how much that makes my day hearing you say that.
Does it really? Because, you know, was it you that said Ted Lasso, like watching Ted Lasso is like receiving a big hug at the end? Maybe it was Casale. Someone said it. But
no,
it's very true. It's hard. It was you?
Yeah.
That is a great line that I'm going to steal going forward. Because watching Ted Lasso is like, it's heartwarming. It's like a great big hug at the end, right?
Yeah. I mean, I can't say I was the first one to say that. I can't remember who told me that when they told me to watch the show.
Yeah.
But I thought after I watched the show, I was like, wow, it is like getting a hug. And then I told, I actually recently told Jake Fraley to go check out Ted Lasso. And he's like, I crushed the whole first season last night.
Really?
I'm like, you were totally right. It's like getting a hug after every single episode. So
I love it.
Yeah.
I didn't see Jake Fraley as a Ted Lasso guy, but you know what? It shows universal, man. Shows universal. And you do want... See, I'm the guy that I'll watch it right when it comes out. Like, there's an episode right now, and I'm like, all right, I got to watch this. So I wish I would have waited and been able to binge watch. But it's so good, I'm going to go back and watch it again, and then like, I'll probably just crush all three seasons. So, but you look like Ted Lasso with the stash, by the way.
Thank you.
A little bit.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Now, this stash, it started with Casale, right? It's a May thing. Obviously, it's for charity. Charity kind of involved in it.
Uh-huh. He pretty much just looked at me dead in the eyes and said, you're going to grow a mustache in May, right? And I was like, are you? He said, yeah. I was like, all right, I'm in.
So is that more of a rookie thing where like the veteran says, hey, Rook, you got to do this? Or are you just kind of that teammate?
Yeah, I just try to be a good teammate. Don't want to leave him on an island there, being the only guy with the mustache. So... decided to join in, and I've actually grown a mustache before, and I figured, why not do it again?
Well, Friedel had one as well, which is now since gone. He was superstitious about his. Once you lost the series, I don't know where we were, lost the series. And it came off a little bit, and then the Yankee series, and it was gone completely. So, but that's the way it goes. You know, you're one of these guys that I found out as we go along and I get to know you or get to know about you at least, that people gravitate towards you. Have you noticed? I mean, you're a guy that you're sort of like the little brother that they pick on.
That's actually a pretty good way of describing my role in the clubhouse, you could say. I actually make the joke, like, I'll be your punching bag. You know, you have a bad day. Just throw it all at me. I'll take it. I'll wear it. But yeah, I just try to be, you know, a guy who can just kind of bring a positive, you know, kind of energetic vibe every day. I kind of pride myself on just trying to be the same guy every single day, no matter how I'm playing, you know, how I'm feeling, if I'm tired, whatnot. I still try to bring it every day. And another guy in our clubhouse that's like that is CeCe. I know you've heard me kind of mention his name a lot recently. And
yeah,
he's kind of that guy that, you know, has that infectious energy about him. So, you know, I try to be
like
that as well.
You're talking about Colin Cowgill, right?
Yeah, Colin Cowgill. Yeah.
First base coach, outfield coach, all-around coach.
Mm-hmm.
He is an energy guy, CeCe.
Yeah, he's awesome. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, a lot of guys, after you hit singles, we do a headbutt with them. And I think that kind of just sums up him perfectly. He's just...
I have noticed the headbutt. Like, you, who gets the headbutts? Just whoever's around him in the dugout? Or you're talking about at first base?
Yeah, first base. After, you know, you get an RBI knock or, you know, a two-out knock with no one on, it doesn't matter. He's ready to give you a headbutt. He's fired up. So I think that's just like him in a nutshell.
I love that action. love that so much. Now, how's it like? You're fully fitting in now with this Reds team, right? I mean, it's the trade was last year, which I know was tough at the time, but is it what you expected? Do you feel like you're hitting your major league groove now?
Yeah, it's just, you know, getting comfortable and just kind of trusting that you belong here. I think that was a big part of kind of my transition from last year to this year is just understanding that I belong here. I can play at this level and, you know, taking a step further, just building relationships with the guys on the team. You're with these guys more than you are with your family. So just getting comfortable with these guys, building relationships with them and going out to dinners on the road, stuff like that. I've really gotten comfortable around this group of guys, and they've made it really easy as well.
How tough was it getting traded? It can't be easy, especially in the middle of a season. You just got to pick up everything you knew as a Minnesota Twin and all the guys you came up with and all the coaches, and that comfortability factor was just gone, erased, and now you've got to somehow fit into a new organization. What was it like?
It was tough. It's a really tough transition. It's kind of like your whole world gets flipped upside down, you know, in a matter of minutes, right? Like one minute when I got traded, I was on the bus to the field with St. Paul, the AAA team with the Twins, get a call that I got traded, take the bus right back to the hotel next day on a flight out of there, and in the dugout with the whole new team that I didn't know anybody, you know, going in.
Right.
So it was tough, you know, leaving my friends and you know, everyone I've built relationships with the Twins over 4 years, leaving them at a moment's notice, and then, you know, just kind of acclimating to a new organization, new coaching staff, new teammates, new routines, all that kind of stuff. So it was a mixed, you know, kind of mixed bag of emotions, I guess. You know, there's a lot of excitement, obviously, for new opportunity. You know, sad leaving your buddies, but I'd say that it went a lot smoother than expected.
Yeah.
You know, after those first couple of days, you know, how tough that transition was, you know, the next week, 2 weeks, you know, the guys in Louisville really, really were great, welcoming. And then obviously when I got here to Cincinnati, it was more of the same.
At the same time, the opportunity here for the Reds had to, like, put a little jump in your step. Did it put knowing that, and you got, you know, called up last year.
Yeah.
So, not sure. Maybe you might have gotten that same opportunity with the Twins. Who knows? But the opportunity here had to put some jump in the step, didn't it?
I feel like right away they believed in me. You know, obviously, number one, getting traded here shows their belief in me, but two, giving me that opportunity last year to come up for the last month and play every day, I think that meant a lot to me and for my confidence going forward that I'm wanted here. They believe that I can be a good baseball player at this level, and yeah, one, the opportunity. I mean, that's all you can ask for as a baseball player, just an opportunity to go out there and show what you can do. And maybe I might have gotten that with the Twins, but maybe not. So forever grateful to this organization for just giving me that opportunity.
That's tremendous. As I take a drink of coffee, by the way, I learned about you. You are very much a coffee connoisseur.
Love it.
Although not the fancy kind of coffee. You're just a black coffee guy, right? Just straight black coffee.
Yeah, I wouldn't say a connoisseur, more just like an addict almost. Just love drinking coffee.
Now, are you immune to it, like, keeping you up? They say, you know, don't drink after such and such time coffee.
During baseball season, yes, I feel like I am. In the off season, I know it keeps me up. So, like, in the off season, I'll never drink it after whatever the rule is, like noon or one. But during season, I could crush a coffee in the seventh inning, and it will not disrupt my sleep whatsoever. Because I'm just, like, just ready for bed when I get home.
Yeah, I'm the guy that, like, I'll have a coffee at the beginning of the game, even a night game. And even if it's, like, 85, 90 degrees, I'm the dude down there with hot coffee. And everyone's looking at me like, dude, you know they make iced coffee.
That's really funny. My dad's the same way. Like, growing up, we'd be going to travel ball tournaments in Arizona, in the summertime, and it'll be like 110 degrees at 8 in the morning, and he's still drinking like a scorching hot coffee.
Oh, it's got to be scorching hot. I'm a real coffee snob as far as temperature goes. I'm with you. I put just a little bit of cream or half and half and maybe just a touch of sugar. That's it. But it's got to be hot.
So
it's
you never go cold brew or?
Oh, I do. Here's the problem. I waited for a long time to do the iced coffee because I knew I'd love it. And I drink it so fast, like a, you know, like it's a soft drink or it's like water or something. It's so good that I drink it way too fast. So I could probably crush 10 and then I would be so, I would have to go to the emergency room. I'd be so
wired.
So use
the temperature of the coffee to kind of slow you down then.
Yes.
That's smart.
Yes. The iced coffee is so good. Like a vanilla iced latte.
Yeah.
I waited for probably a decade after I started drinking coffee because I knew I would love it. And when I have it, I just crush it. I just crush it too fast. It's like chocolate milk to me or something.
Yeah. Like cold brew from Starbucks. I'm the same way. Yes. Like it's down the hatch in 5 minutes.
Exactly. You laid a line on me the other day. We were, we've got a YouTube show coming up again. Extra Bases with Jim Day. Check it out in the coming days or weeks. It'll be on YouTube. We're asking a series of questions off the beaten path. And you laid some great lines on me, by the way. One of which was something, I'm paraphrasing, something like this. I like to go home and crush a large pizza. Doesn't always get me out of a slump, but makes me happy. At least I get a large pizza.
It's the best of both worlds,
which is
right?
A great line.
Yes. You eat the large pizza, you break out of the slump, mission accomplished. You don't break out of the slump, you had a delicious pizza last night. So I see it as personally as a win-win situation and just another excuse to have pizza.
Yeah, and we have that in common because pizza is my absolute like weakness.
Yep.
Like I could eat it breakfast, lunch, dinner, cold, hot, whatever. Put a pizza in front of me, I'm hurting.
Yeah, doesn't matter the time of the year. Time of the day, it's always good.
What's your preferred pizza? I did ask you this, but
yeah, I'm very specific.
Yeah,
just because it's the convenience factor of this, but you know, you're on the road, doesn't matter what town, what time of the night it is, you can always rely on Domino's pizza. And I like to go thin crust, pepperoni and bacon, then have them drizzle some buffalo sauce on the top.
So do you have a Domino's here that knows like, all right, Spencer's calling? Because that's a very specific order and it's memorable if you're taking the order.
I don't think they know me yet because I've only been a couple times since I've been here in Cincinnati, but there is a Domino's literally, I'd say, under 500 feet away from my apartment.
Well, that's dangerous.
Yeah, so I just, you know, order online and go pick it up, and it's like 10 minutes. It's great. So
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love pizza. All right, let's get to know you a little bit going back in time. California kid, right?
Yep.
And you are a twin, right? You have a twin brother.
I do. I have a twin brother who doesn't look anything like me, and he's a firefighter in Long Beach, where I grew up. And then
Long Beach in the hair.
Yeah, where it starts to really get crazy is I have two older brothers who are also twins. I don't know if you knew that.
No.
So there's two sets of twins. Me and my three brothers had a pretty crazy childhood growing up. Because my two older brothers who are twins, they're 21 months older than me and my twins. So four little boys running around.
Oh, my gosh. See, and I don't know this, you know, personal experience, but it's in my family. Like when you have twins, that is a handful to have two at once, let one at once, but two at once. And then to double up and happen again. Did you get any feedback from your parents? Like, wow, hey, you know, you people that just had one, we had a set or two sets of twins.
Well, luckily my mom, she actually got some, you know, old footage that she would, you know, randomly just take videos of us just kind of playing in the living room. And it was just pure chaos. Like, I mean, there was toys all over the ground in every single room. And then she'd, you know, pan to the backyard. There'd be two boys in the living room making a mess, and there'd be two boys in the backyard playing in the mud. Like, oh, I mean, it was like, my mom's an absolute saint for dealing
no,
with us.
No question about it. Total saint. I don't know her personally, obviously. What a saint, though.
Yeah, she's the best.
Although I did come across them last year when you made your debut, which, by the way, as far as debuts go,
wow. It's probably one of my better games all of last year, and it just happened to be on my debut.
Yeah.
Which was pretty ideal.
Were you, when you look back at that now, were you just like, it just happened? It, like, you were almost so wide-eyed and almost don't remember. A lot of guys say, I hardly remember it. I just kind of just went through it. Was it like that for you? Or
yeah, 100%. I would say exactly that. What I remember from my debut is just before the game. I remember, like, you know, all day before the game being so nervous, like, not even be able to eat, like, nervous, and then showing up to the field and it being an absolute whirlwind when I get to the field. And then it's like, next thing I know, the game starts. And then that's when it's like, I don't really have any recollection whatsoever from that game. It was like, game started, blacked out, game ended. It's done.
Yeah, game ended, then you had some nerd waiting there like, can I talk to you? Can I talk to you about that walk-off thing?
Probably couldn't tell you what I said in that interview either.
I couldn't tell you what I asked, but I'm sure it was bad questions. But we got through it, so appreciate right. that. This year, you've been playing a lot of first base, and I got to tell you, man, that's not an easy transition. People say, oh, just throw someone out there at first base. It's easy. No, it's not. But you've done pretty well over there. Are you feeling more comfortable?
Yeah, I'm starting to get more and more comfortable. The toughest thing for me was the glove, to be honest with you.
Bigger glove. Flimsier glove.
I use a smaller glove for third base. I use 11.5-inch glove at third base, which is by standard pretty small, I guess, for that position. And then going to first base, you're using a 12.75-inch glove. So it's another inch and a half, and it's just a different make of a glove. It's just big, it's floppy. Sometimes I catch the ball and it's like I don't even feel it. Like it's just that was the big thing for me, was just taking ground balls to that thing and just getting used to catching ground balls. You know, the targeting in that glove's different. It's got to be a little lower than what I'm used to with my glove at third. So that, and then obviously the footwork that goes into play at first and all that stuff. So I'm definitely getting more comfortable, as I've obviously played there pretty much every day the past month. So, but I think it's a harder position than I think a lot of people realize, and definitely harder than I realized before I played there.
Yeah, you're not the prototypical first baseman, I guess, nope. If they were going to draw it up. A funny shot. I mean, Aaron Judge is on first base, and he's standing next to you, and he is just a giant of a human being.
Massive.
He looks massive next to anyone. But did you find yourself like, wow?
I mean, he's just a massive human. Like, I don't really know how to describe how big he is, besides just he's massive. It was actually funny. I went back in the dugout, and TJ was like, dude, he makes you look tiny. And I just remember thinking, like, man, I hope someone gets a picture. Like, I want to see it.
Well, we took a shot. I'm sure there's a picture, but we took a few shots.
Yeah, I want to see it. I was waiting, you know, that app that we get all our pictures on. I was hoping that, you know, a picture would show up of him standing next to me and just see how small I look. But well, I'm sure I'll find one at some point.
Friedel gets on me all the time because I'm like six. I used to be 6'3". I think I'm 6'2" now that I get older. Who knows? But when I do a post-game interview with him, and he's like, can I stand on a box? Because he looked at the interview back and he's like, I look so short next to you. And I'm like, I'm sorry, man. So every time he's like, bring out the box. Bring out the box.
That's so funny.
So he's got a little self-humor, if you will.
That's good.
TJ, about him.
Yeah. I mean, doesn't matter your height when you're balling like him. So
yeah, no doubt about it. We're going to talk more to Spencer Steer, and we'll do that right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, we're back with Ted Lasso, a.k.a. Spencer Steer. Now, we were just talking about TJ Friedel there a minute ago. Now, these questions I had you ask, these guys threw you under the bus a little bit, which is just totally uncool. But
not surprised.
It's like that little brother thing that they like to pick on, and they do it because they like you. You are well liked in the clubhouse, which I found out. Now, some of these questions, again, you're going to see some of these on YouTube coming up, but were you thrown off by these amount of weird questions I asked you?
I wasn't thrown off. I had a good time. It's fun to do a little quirky, different interviews like that.
So. Yeah. I mean, just to give you an example, like what's the last show you binge watch? What show would you consider a guilty pleasure? Which, by the way, what was yours?
The guilty pleasure show? New Girl.
New Girl. Yeah. Which I have no idea what that is.
Good show. It's like a good comp would be like The Office, like a 30-minute, just like silly, just.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd be into that. Office is great. Phone app you can't live without. Surprise apps. First celebrity crush, which was. Who'd you say?
I gave you Selena Gomez.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you went like immediately, all right, it's got to be Disney Channel, right?
Yeah, it was definitely a Disney Channel.
If you could spend a day with a celebrity, who would it be? If you could invite four famous people to dinner, who would it be? I mean, it's questions like this, on and on, just rapid fire type of questions that to get to know the player. A few were tough, like the
autobiography name. That one, that stumped me.
The question is, what was your autobiography be called? And you had to come back to it, and then you came up with Spencer's Stories.
Yeah, it was just brutal. Just a brutal name. And I sat there for 10 minutes thinking about it, too, and that's all I came up with.
Spencer's Stories. And this was who walked in? I think Stevenson walked in. He's Steven. In the background. He's back there just cracking up. He's just laughing.
What'd he come up with? Do you remember?
Gosh, I can't remember. This is terrible. I asked so many guys the same questions. I can't remember what he came up with.
It must have not been very
good.
It wasn't as... Yeah. Clearly not memorable. So.
No, not. If you could know the absolute and total truth to one question, what question would you ask? And yours was good. About the pyramids.
Yeah, who built the pyramids?
Yes.
I feel like that's been a hot topic on podcast lately.
Oh, here we are.
Like Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
And like stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. There's some conspiracy theorists out there. But who knows? There's a lot of questions about that.
It makes you think. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we got to the portion. There's very few questions about baseball, but there are about teammates. Who is the best dresser on the team? Who is the worst dresser on the team? Which teammate spends the most time in front of the mirror? Funniest teammate? And you came up a couple times, and unfortunately, they were throwing you under the bus about the worst dresser on the team.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to give you the microphone to defend yourself against these heathens known as your teammates.
You know, I get a lot from the guys when I wear just the travel suit on the plane and stuff. Like last trip, Mally had me come just to the front of the bus just to say, "Hey, everyone, look at Spencer's wearing pajamas again. Nice hat, too. Go sit down." Like, stuff like that, you know? just giving me a hard time for wearing the travel suit. You know, when the, you know, there's probably a lot of other guys wearing it. But
what's the travel suit?
It's just like you know, it's a sweatsuit. You know, you got black sweats,
yeah,
and you know, a zip up hoodie,
right?
You know, it has Reds logos on it.
And, those, you know, are nice, actually.
And I'm obviously not the only guy wearing it, right. But they choose to have me go to the front.
Got to bring the little brother up here.
And, you know, be the punching bag and make fun of me for wearing pajamas. So
they have a nickname for you, don't they?
I can't remember. If they got one for me, I don't know about it.
It was about the clothes. Stocks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is a good story. during spring training, we're sitting on the bench, and Will Benson's talking to somebody. I think it might have been Will Myers. And they're talking about, like, who wears a good jersey. And I forget who was hitting at the time. They're like, yeah, look, you know, he's got, you know, an arm sleeve on. He's got wrist tape. He's got the chain. Like, looks good. He's like, Spence over here, like, he's got stock swag.
That's it.
I was like, what is that supposed to mean?
That's it, stock swag.
And he's like, you know, like, nothing's, like, flashy. You know, you got the double wrist tape. And, you know, that's about it. Like, it's stock swag. And I kind of liked it, you know, like, so I've kind of ran with the, you know, the stock swag kind of thing. And I think that's a good way to describe kind of how I dress off the field. You know, it's nothing flashy. It's just kind of stock swag, I guess.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that they would. So how often do you get called to the front of the bus? Now, by the way, the players travel on their own bus. When we're traveling, it's coaches and, you know, personnel and broadcasters in separate bus. But you guys got your own bus, which is like to be a fly on the wall a few times on there. But how often are you called to the front of the bus?
Yeah, Luke Maley is our MC. He's always on the mic, kind of, you know, he's always got, you know, a list of topics to touch on. And
so he's got the mic of the bus driver's,
yeah,
mic.
Yeah, he grabs the mic, and it's typically just when we land in an away city.
Yeah.
And it's when we're, you know, driving from the airport to the hotel when we first get to the city. And, yeah, he just grabs a mic and starts to MC. And, you know, he'll either share a story or talk about, you know, the previous series, whatever it is. And then usually he'll grab a rookie or two or guys, you know, with less than a year of service time.
Yeah.
And, you know, have us go up to the front of the bus and, you know, say a few things about ourselves, get to know your teammates. Feel free to share a story or sing a song. So first bus trip of the year, calls me up and they say, sing the national anthem. So first road trip of the year, sang the national anthem. And then I think I got called up one other time and sang a song. So it's only been a couple times, but I'm sure there'll be plenty more throughout the year.
How did the national anthem go?
It went good, but I actually blanked on the words at one part and didn't get a good reaction from the crowd on
did
that.
Did you get
one,
booed off the?
I didn't get booed, but you know there were some unhappy guys in the crowd. You know, you can't blank on the words. It's our national anthem.
Did you try to hit the high notes though?
Yeah, in that situation, I think guys just want you to go for it. Like, they don't care how bad you are, but if you really, like, show effort and just kind of go for it,
yeah,
you know, it's entertainment, and they'll respect you for it, too.
So you went for it?
Yeah, I went for it. You have to.
That is beautiful.
Because if you go up there and you're bad and you aren't showing effort,
yeah,
it's like a double whammy. You're getting booed. But if you're bad but you show a lot of effort and you go for it, then guys, you know, they're going to get some laughs, and maybe you'll leave the stage with some claps. You never know.
I love that, because there's a lot of, I mean, obviously we have to do the national anthem before every game, and there are some that are better than others, but boy, do they try to get after it, and some make it like an American Idol audition, and unfortunately some are longer than others. What is it like standing on the line out there when there's a long national anthem going on? Are you guys grumbling amongst yourselves? Are you... How's that go? Because you're out there and you're respecting your country, and it's a moment that you could be caught on camera too. So,
yeah, just stand there and respect the flag, respect what what the national anthem means to this country. And yeah, sometimes the national anthem can get long and get a little antsy. I mean, everyone does.
Hey, everyone, because we got to do 162 of them. So you always know, like, the very first lines, you know how it's going to go. And yeah, this has nothing to do whether they sing well or not. Most of them can sing, yeah, obviously, very well. A few, only a few have rough times, but you can just tell when it's like, oh, sir, like that type of pace.
That's when you know it's, you
gotta, you're like, oh, hunker down. This one's going to be like two or three minutes.
You're going to be there a while.
We might have to move the game time back. Because the song was written, it's written like this pace. Dun, 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 dun. That's the pace it's written at.
Yeah.
Don't quite
have it. The only time I have a real issue with the long national anthems is when it's really cold. Because yeah, you just want to get moving.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thankfully, we didn't play too many cold games at the beginning of the year. But like, that's when I really notice when they're long.
Did you go to Dodger Stadium last year? Or was that after, or was that before you got?
No, caught? I didn't. Yeah, that was before.
You want to talk about some singers now. Obviously, they have a, you know, Hollywood, hotbed to draw from. But they've got a music bed underneath of it, and I want to tell you, they bring the house down. There's some really, really talented national anthem singers. How did I get on the national anthem topic? Anyways.
I sang it on the bus, that's why.
That's joking. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Getting old, Spencer. I can't remember 10 minutes ago. Another one of these questions we're going to get to, in which they brought up Spencer Steer as the answer, his teammates. We'll get to it right after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We're back. Okay, another one of these questions we asked for this YouTube show was, which teammate would be the worst babysitter? Mm. And you probably won the prize.
How many guys said I was the worst?
I can't say all of them. We did like 10 players, probably three or four.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
I think Will Myers was one.
I think two of them probably meant it, and two of them are just being haters. That's my guess. So I'll take that.
I can't remember the exact players that brought up. I think Casale was one that said, because he has, you know, a kid now.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I that wouldn't be good. It wouldn't leave my child with Spencer. And it's because you don't have children. Like, I would have been chosen for this as well, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't really have much to like fight back on that. You know, I don't have any kids.
Yeah.
My brothers who are married don't have kids, don't really have much experience with kids. So, you know, can't really fight them on that one, I guess.
But you got, I love how you just take it in stride because it beats the alternative of guys not liking you, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, not liking you. What do you think? Do you have any goals other than to, you know, obviously you want to stay a major leaguer. That's always the number one goal.
Mm-hmm.
But have you set any personal goals of things you want to accomplish, or are you just kind of just figuring it out as you go?
I would say I've definitely set some goals. You know, over time, those goals are obviously going to change. I think one big one for this year was just be in that lineup every day this year and just try to make an impact positively on this team to help them win. Like, I think the city is craving winning baseball.
Oh, no doubt.
And you can really feel it from the fans, and can't blame them for being impatient and really antsy to see this team win. So I think going in, that was a lot of guys' goals, was just, let's play good baseball and let's find ways to win. And I think that goes hand in hand with personal goals. If I'm impacting this team and helping this team win, I think at the end of the day, you look at my stats, they're probably going to be pretty good if I'm helping the team win. So yeah. I think when you go out there every night and you try to just play winning baseball, I think the rest will take care of itself.
Yeah. Who do you hang with on the team the most? You're on the road. Who you hanging with?
I mean, it's the position player guys around my age for sure. Most of the guys without, you know, families on the road or kids, you know, because a lot of guys' families travel and
yeah
they want to spend time with their kids. So spent a lot of time with Stu, TJ, Indy, Fraley, Steve-O. A lot of those guys I'm hanging out with a lot.
Who gives you the most grief out of that group?
I'd say it's probably split between TJ and Jake. Because we're in the locker room, we're right by each other.
Right, like, by each other, like, yes.
It's us right three next in a row, to each other. So yeah, we're always bickering at each other, and you know, it's fun.
What do you think TJ's doing right now? We're in the afternoon. It's before a night game, folks. Just figuring that out.
What is TJ doing right now?
You think he would answer his phone?
He's probably trying to figure out a Sudoku puzzle. He's terrible at them. It's because everyone on the team at the beginning of the year, we started doing Sudoku, and you know, we're all pretty good at them. And then TJ kind of is late to the party, and he's trying to be like us. And he's probably struggling with one of those right now. That'd be my guess.
All right, I have a habit of calling people on this podcast.
I love it.
Now he is.
Haven't called me yet before.
Well, I didn't get your number till like yesterday.
That's fair. That's fair.
A couple days ago, I would have, because in the future.
Has TJ been on this before?
Yes. Yes, he has. So let's see if he answers.
So he'll get it.
I don't know. We'll see if he answers. Oh, maybe. Oh. We got a ringy dingy. Let's see.
It's working.
Hey.
TJ Friedel.
Yo, what's up?
You are on the Gym Day podcast with Spencer Steer.
Oh, boy.
Hey, TJ, you doing a Sudoku puzzle right now? That was my guess.
No, John is, though. I'm sitting right across from John doing his Sudoku.
See, he doesn't even want to try it because he knows he can't do it.
No, that's not true. I didn't get a printout. If I had a printout, I would do it. You have printouts on there? Who is that? Spence and Gym Day. Prank. They're just prank calling everyone in the clubhouse, I guess.
We're being silly.
Oh, you have extras, John?
Oh, yeah.
So you're with India there?
Yeah.
Are you in the clubhouse right now?
Yeah, we're sitting in the clubhouse, and he's doing his Sudoku. And now I'm going to go get one printed, and I'll have it done by the time Spence gets back.
Uh-oh.
No chance. You could start that thing right
now.
Wait,
what day of the week is it? Tuesday?
Wednesday? It is Wednesday.
Oh, it's so easy. I can do it. It's so easy.
I guarantee you, TJ, you start that thing right now. I'll get done with this podcast, come in there, start it, and probably beat it. Or probably finish it.
Okay,
for
now
you.
You're just trying to show off for Jim.
I am.
Yeah, I know. All right, have fun with your podcast.
Thank you, TJ. And give our best to Jonathan India.
That'd be hilarious.
Jim says good luck on your Sudoku. He says stay, Jim. All right, bye.
He wanted no part. He's like, I'm out. I don't want any part of this long conversation.
No, he didn't. It's definitely how it goes anyway.
Yeah. That's all good. It's all good. But he's a good dude, man. He's an energy. You talked about Cowgill earlier. Cowgill and Friedel together have made a huge difference as far as the energy in the dugout. Correct?
Oh, TJ's a spark plug.
Yeah.
I mean, just his personality and then the way he goes about his business on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, just last night, first game back, two doubles.
Yeah.
Like, he's just kind of that guy at the top of our lineup, just getting stuff going.
Yeah. I got to tell you, the last few years, the dugout has been dead. Now, a lot of that is because of the start last year and new guys, trades. Everyone was trying to get to know each other, really feel each other out, but and which lasted, seemed like the whole season. It is totally different this year. The standings, you guys aren't where you want to be right now. But as far as one thing you can't question is the effort, the grit of this team, and the energy that you guys have. It's been totally different. Have you noticed?
I think we're just going about our business the right way. You mentioned it. The energy. What else did you say?
You're getting like me now. I said the energy, the grit.
The grit. Yeah, just like the grittiness. Like we're grinding. Like we're really just battling every single night. And I can't look back on a game where it's like we were flat. We just didn't bring the energy. We weren't ready to play. And I think over the last, I don't know, we played 50 games maybe. Maybe the results aren't there yet. But I think if we stay the course and we keep showing up like that every night and playing the right way like we have been, I really do think the results will come. And that's a process that everyone can get behind. I think everyone is behind, and everyone really believes that if we keep going out, taking each game with the right approach and the right mentality, I really do think that the results will come. And I think everyone in that clubhouse believes that too.
Well, I appreciate your time. I'm going to turn you loose. I know you got some things to do. Get ready for the game. And you've got to go in and show your Sudoku prowess.
Yeah, I talked a big game there. I got to go show up now.
You do. So we'll have to get an update on that. Now, in the future, now that I have your number, beware. In future podcasts, you could be getting a call on the podcast.
I can't wait. Looking forward to it.
I don't know if you mean that or not, but
guess what, to find out.
Thanks for faking it. But hey, man, you're an interesting guy. I love that guys gravitate towards you and like you. That's very obvious, and you have immense talent. Hope you're around here for years to come, man.
Appreciate it, Jim. Thanks for having me.
You got it. That is the one and only Spencer Steer, a.k.a. Ted Lasso, or the other way around. Thanks for hanging out with us on the Jim Day Podcast, and we will see you next time.